Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. My brothers and sisters in Christ, the prayer of our Lord is one to take seriously. It's one that I think we skip over a lot. I really do. I think we kind of pray it and we don't really pay attention to it because we're used to praying it. We think that we know the petitions, and so we just kind of say them offhandedly. We don't think about the petitions of the Lord's Prayer as we're making our way through it. What are we truly asking for? Sometimes it's as if we give it lip service, and we think, well, giving it lip service is enough. That's a prayer. And you know what? You're absolutely right. It's a prayer. Because we have to remember, first of all, out of everything else, that the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And even when you do not pray as you ought to pray, the Spirit continues to lift up your prayers before our God, to be heard by our Lord Jesus Christ, and to be brought to His Father. Our weakness does not stop our Lord from hearing our prayers. Isn't that an amazing and wonderful thing? And yet still, we can do better. And we should do better. And we do better in a very particular way, which is to pray the prayer that our Lord has taught us. Now, this, by the way, does not exclude any other prayer that you may offer to our Lord. But if you really pay attention to the Lord's Prayer, and what we have as what we know as our Lord's Prayer is taken from a couple of different sources where Jesus is teaching them how to pray. And then, of course, we tack on the end, for thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We tack that on. That's not actually in the scripture, but it's a scriptural phrase. That's our Lord's Prayer. And our Lord Jesus tells us something very specific about this. And it's why we treat it seriously, which is that this is the only prayer, despite everything else that we might bring to God, this is the only prayer that God's answer is always yes to. It's true. This prayer is the only thing where God is always going to say yes. I mean, I remember as a kid praying for all kinds of things, right? I mean, I remember praying for Lego sets, and I remember praying for toys, and sometimes I'd pray for my family, but mostly it was about what I wanted. And guess what? That's perfectly fine. Your Lord delights to hear these prayers from you. He wants to know what you want, not because He doesn't know, but because your wants are brought to Him. And, as it is the case for most of our prayers, God answered, no, you can't have that Lego set. You can't have those toys. And how do we know that the answer is no? Because I'm still waiting. But when we pray these prayers, Father, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, because we forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. These simple words, God's answer is always yes and amen. Always. Always. Our Father is always going to make His name to be holy, hallowed. His kingdom is coming with or without our help. He provides for our needs day by day. And guess what? If you don't have it, you don't need it. That's from God. And God, every time you confess your sins and ask for forgiveness, He is going to forgive you. And even as He forgives you, you learn what it is to forgive others who are indebted to you, either by their sin or literally in debt. And our Lord is never going to lead you into temptation, but will provide for you a way out of it. Always, always will He do these things. Our Lord is so good and gracious to provide a prayer to us, which is a yes answer. Every rabbi, this is why the disciples came to ask Jesus, teach us to pray. Every rabbi had their own way of praying. It's true. And there were hundreds of rabbis. throughout time, and even at Jesus' time, there were tons of rabbis who were out there. And all of them would teach their disciples a particular way to pray, usually within an emphasis that rabbi would have. So if you come to me and you say, "Pastor, teach me to pray," I'm probably going to ask you to learn how to pray according to your vocation, which is the duties God has called you to do to serve your neighbor. And I'm going to ask you to pray in light of the resurrection. Because honestly, those are my two big things. I think if we, as a church, not just this church, but as a whole church, got back to those two doctrines, I really think we'd fix a lot of our issues. But I'm not the Lord. It's not to say that I can't teach you to pray. In fact, that's one of my jobs as your pastor. But my prayers are not the same as our Lord's prayers. The prayers that I would have you pray, or the prayers that we bring to our Lord, they're not always going to be answered with yes. They're not always going to be answered with maybe or not yet. They're often, and I think if we're honest, most often answered with no. Why is that, by the way? Why is the answer to most of our prayers going to be no? Is because of a very simple reason. We are not praying rightly. Now, you go, "Well, God hears our prayers. You just told me that." And this is true. God does hear your prayers. And it delights Him to hear your prayers. But here's the thing. Jesus gives us the key as to what to be asking for right at the end of our passage today. I don't know if you caught it. "How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" What are we praying for? An indwelling of the Spirit. And what of those things that we pray in our Lord's Prayer are not from the indwelling of the Spirit within you? The answer is none of them. All of them stem from this. But I have to tell you, sometimes we pray for those things that, well, are not according to the Spirit. Or certainly not according to God's will. Sometimes we do pray for the wrong thing. Sometimes we do think to ourselves of the things that we want or the things that we think we want. And we bring those prayers to God and the answer is no, because that's not given to us within the power of the Spirit. Not because He's not able, but because it's not for your best. And sometimes the answer is no because something better is coming down. Sometimes the answer is no. Just stop asking. You kind of hit that wall sometimes, and that's okay. Our Lord tells us that when we're asking then for the gift of the Spirit, when we're seeking God's yes, He will give it. And here's how we pray these prayers too. I love Jesus' parable, right? Man starts knocking at the door in the middle of the night, and you got to remember, in families at this time, every family would be sleeping together, all together in the very same bed for warmth, right? So the father of the house is laying in bed. His children are likely laying like on top of him because, I mean, have you ever slept with a kid before? They're all over you. And his friend knocks at the door in the middle of the night and says, "I need some bread. I got friends coming in." And the father's going to be like, "No, I'm not getting up. I don't want to get up. This is comfortable for them. And besides, if I wake them up, I know they're going to be up all night and I'm not going to get any sleep. I'm not going to do it. I don't care how close we are. I don't care if you saved my life. I'm not getting out of bed." And yet the guy keeps knocking. And so the friend gets up, not because of friendship, but because of the guy's impudence. He keeps coming to the door and knocking and saying, "I need it. I need it. I need it." And the father, the friend, says, "Fine, I'll do it," out of exasperation. But your Father in heaven is never exasperated by you. He loves His children, and He puts them in a place where they are comforted and they are taken care of, and He has time to answer your prayer, and you can never knock too late. It's true. You can never come to your Father too late and all of a sudden, "Oh no, I missed the window." That's not how God works. It's not how He works at all. In fact, it's this. If you ask our Lord, according to His Holy Spirit, those things that you are to ask for, it will be given to you. And if you knock, It shall be open to you. If you seek, you'll find what you need. Because, not because it's like, okay, I'm on a treasure hunt from God, but because you're seeking God in the way where He is to be found. The very place that He has put Himself and where He's put His promises, which are in His church. Because you find the answer to all of our Lord's prayer here in the church. Where else is God's name kept holy? Where else does our Lord's kingdom come? Where else are we given daily bread? Where else do we hear the forgiveness of sins? Where else do we forgive others their sins? And where else are we led away from temptation and into righteousness and holiness? You see, our Lord gives to us His Holy Spirit, which has throughout time bound His church together and brought even us to this place at this time, right now, to receive from our Lord the very yes that He has given to us in Jesus Christ. What a joy that is, to know that our Father invites us to seek after what He wants to give. It's true. It's true. I mean, after all, God doesn't want to give you bad things. I mean, Jesus says, how many of you, if your child asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent, or an egg and you give him a scorpion? That's not what God does. And so if you give your children good things, how much more is your Father going to give you the Holy Spirit when you ask? How much more is He going to give you the work of the Spirit? How much more is He going to give you the work of the church, which is to come to you in word and sacrament? How much more is He going to give to you the crucifixion of Jesus Christ for you, for the forgiveness of your sins? After all, that's why God's answer to us in this prayer is yes and amen. Because our Lord Jesus Christ has borne your sin, borne your punishment, taking your sinfulness away from you, and He has given to you His righteousness that you might come before the Father of all life and say, I'm your child. Love me. And He says, yes. Even while looking at the cross of Jesus and pouring out His wrath upon Him, He looks at you and says, I'm going to give you everything. You will inherit everything in this world. And there is nothing that is off limits. Think of Abraham in our Old Testament lesson. How much did he come before his God? Will you destroy it for the sake of 50 righteous? No. 45? No. 40? No. 30? No. 5? Wouldn't that be nice? It's almost as if Abraham was saying, certainly there's got to be 10. Right? And just think of the arrogance it almost took for Abraham to come to God and say, don't do this. Don't let your name fall into disrepute. Don't do that. But you know, honestly, that's not what we pray for. We don't pray that God's name would not fall into disrepute. We pray that His name would be holy. Because that's what He is. God can do whatever He wants. And what He wants to do is to give you every good gift. So as you look around today, as you think of the air that you breathe and the clothes that you wear, when you receive the food of your meals today, when you go home to your air conditioning, even in all the heat, when you go outside and you enjoy the beauty of our Lord's creation, understand that all of this is the answer to our Lord's prayer. All of it is. For He will give you everything you need and more. Not because you've pleased Him, not because, well, of anything else, but for the sake that you are His child, and you are His child through the adoption of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.